Hey, Matt.
Yeah, Jason.
We've waited a long time. Well, about 8 months for this. Nine, even, if you want to check your calendar. But first of all, this is the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
And what we've waited for is the opportunity to say, Bears on deck. Because guess what? The Bears are actually on deck. We're going to play a live football game, not a scrimmage. Like last Friday. We'll talk about that here in a second. But we're going to play a little football next Friday. The opening season, week number one officially, is next week in Iowa football.
Do you mean a real football game?
Matthew, don't tease me like this.
Real football game?
Okay, this is real. Yes, there's a football game, and West Liberty is the opponent. And again, we'll dive into that later as well.
Jason, before we get into today's stuff, I do want to I got a question to ask you.
Okay.
What'd you think about that new intro music last week?
But I like it because that should probably be. Are you trying to infer that we should use that music every week?
I think I'm going to make the executive decision that be our intro music every week.
I'll be honest with you, the executive powers, I have about 5% of them as it pertains to this podcast, because in the end, again, you're doing all the editing. So, hey.
I think our listeners deserve some consistency.
Yep. We'll have that. But maybe the outro bumper.
Yeah, we can
be something else.
We could have that be whatever.
Well, last Friday, Matt, that would make that the 17th of August. There was a preseason scrimmage. Mount Vernon came to West Branch at the Little Rose Bowl. The two teams for the fourth consecutive year played a modified kind of live scrimmage to where you could get a feel of what it's like to do some things against a team other than your own teammates and actually do some things, go downfield without the whistle blowing, feel a little contact.
But not too much contact.
Well, here's my recap, and you can say what you want after. This will be very brief. I thought for what Coach Hirschman showed on offense, the Bears, they were certainly about where they want to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to dig too deep into the playbook on a scrimmage.
No.
A, because why?
And the kids haven't had a lot of time to practice that stuff yet either.
Fact. Those are facts. So, but in a defensive standpoint, thinking about what was lost from a graduation perspective at which positions, I think West Branch fans had to be, I'll say, not exceedingly surprised, but pleasantly surprised with the efforts of the defense.
Yeah, I thought the defense played extremely well. I mean, playing Mount Vernon, a Class 2A opponent, a team who has been extremely successful the last several years under the lead of Lance Peterson. And, just as you said, I thought that defense went out there and played well. And, I mean, I think it was the third, something like that, play of the game. Second play of the game. Thomas Gould, pick six.
Jumps a route to the flats.
Perfect timing.
Jumped off his guy.
Yeah.
Jumps the route and takes it, I think it was 34 yards, if we're going to get technical. Yeah. It was 34 yards. I looked at it on the huddle.
Yeah.
And
of course, there are a few, you know, big plays here and there, but that's football.
That's football.
To quote Kirk Ferentz, that's football.
Now, I'll say this much, though. In that first 20-minute segment, again, when the Bears and the Mustangs had the opportunity to have a 70-yard field to work with and kind of open the playbook to see where you're at a little bit rather than doing a, you know, having offensive and, you know, offensive 5-minute segments for, you know, you get a whistle blown after 10 yards or a long completion, the whistle blows in practice. Well, the Bears really pretty much controlled Mount Vernon in that segment. They held them scoreless. So in other words, didn't give up any points. In fact, they barely got over midfield in that segment. Okay? In that second segment, the Mustangs did some things and took advantages of some openings in the middle of the field on some passing, some slants, and some other things, and scored a couple of times. But again, West Branch scored two. West Branch got physical. It's the kind of football we're used to. And hopefully that'll carry on into this coming week against West Liberty, Matt.
Yeah, it was. I think they've got some good momentum heading into this Friday. And I know I think the players, just kind of seeing some reactions after the game, the players were, I think, pretty happy with how they did in the scrimmage. And I think that starts with the coaching staff also thinking that the team did well in the scrimmage. So I think we have some good momentum heading into this Friday against West Liberty, where another 2A opponent, I mean, as we're going to say pretty much week after week here for the first half of the season. So, and we're right back at home. I'm ready. I'm ready.
But how about this, Matt? Before we get into the regular season, there's still one piece of information from Media Day that we haven't released yet. Last year we tried this with Jacob Graves. We tried 50 yards with Jacob Graves, crossfield with Cheesy, and we did a little video interview. You're walking in front of us at a brisk pace, and we're doing kind of an interview. Well, we did that this year with Drake Bloom because that's what he likes. He enjoys that stuff. He really loves the podcast. Big fan of ours. The video didn't come out very well, but what did come out very well, Matt, was the audio segment portion of that interview. And before we get into the regular season, let's end up the preseason and play that segment for you right now. Senior year, man. You've played 4 years of football now. What's that mean to you?
It means a lot. Kind of sad to see it go. I mean, it blows by real quick, and just it's an experience, and it's sad that it's coming to an end, but I'm also ready to play this last year.
Yeah, I know. You know, this year you're ready to go for a full season. What are you seeing in practice so far from this team that has got you, you know, optimistic?
We're working really hard. We got the pads popping going. I think today we really started to gel and get that chemistry going as a team, and everything's just starting to click from here, and I think we got some good football ahead of us.
And we're in media day. I mean, does it, what? Seriously, what's the real perspective of this? The real thought from you when you come up to this?
Well, I like it a lot. I mean, you see a lot of people from the community out here, a lot of parents that you don't normally see. They're sitting in the stands. You get to come out and meet them, talk to them, take a picture with your kids, say, oh, yeah, you may not know me, but I play football with him. We're real good friends on the football field. And they're like, wow, I didn't even know this.
Yeah. Okay, what offensive lineman? What's being an offensive lineman, man? What is that to you? What's definition?
Head-on-head, hard-nosed football, fighting every day, having fun, working hard so we can get the win.
Okay. You guys had return a lot of players. You lost five starters front and back, you know, offense, defense from the class of last year. Who are some of the guys that maybe didn't get as much time last year, they're getting some time this year, you're seeing growth from?
I'm seeing Zach Thompson's working really hard. Brady Lukuski made a lot of big plays, and this year it looks like he's really going to step up and start for us.
Offensive line, you lost two guys. Who's going to step in?
We got Javier Zamudio, who's actually our kicker.
Bob,
we call him. And then we have Jeff Bowie is playing left tackle next to me, replacing the chef, Jacob Barnhart. And
Coach Hirschman talked about you've got depth now, eight or nine guys that he trusts maybe to play offensive line. Who are some of the other guys that have stepped in up in practice and really elevated the play?
We got Matt Rummelhart. Matt Paulson's come in, stepped up, done a great job. Brad Hunger's doing amazing as well. I mean, we're all working hard, and we're getting it. It's doing well.
2018 West Branch football. What's the mantra?
It's never satisfied.
Never,
you know.
And give me the definition of that for you.
Well, for me, it's just going out. It's working hard. And it's you're tired, but you're not satisfied. You're tired. You want to quit, but, you know, you got to keep going. You got to keep fighting. It's for the team.
Speaking of which, we just got him to go keep going 100 yards with Drake Bloom, man. You're setting a trend for next year. Who's next? Seriously, 100 yards. It's you. 200 next year?
200 next year? I say Tanner Lukuski should do it next year.
That's
big
the
32.
That's the bare way. I can tell you that Drake is very pumped up about this season. Last year, he had an injury thing going on and was unable to play a few games. So he's ready to get back into some live actions and crack some pads and see where he's at, both from a conditioning and physical and, well, mental standpoint.
The kid has a ton of energy, and he's smart on the football field, extremely physical on the football field. The Bears are going to be really grateful to have him back on the line this year, just with his, as I mentioned, just his physical presence. And I think he's also kind of has that leadership mentality too. Like he's going to be the kind of kid that you know, say, let's go, guys, let's get it moving. You know, if another guy on the line next to him makes a mistake, Drake's going to be right there talking to him, you know, about what that kid needs to do better or change or something like that. So I'm extremely, as I said, extremely excited to have him back on the line this year. And I think, you know, he's not, designated as a team captain, but unofficial captain, I think, is going to be the way to go. And, I mean, I know that whether he's a captain or not, to him, is not going to make a difference in terms of his performance on the field, his leadership as a teammate, in helping this team do as best as they can. So that was a good interview we had with Drake. As you listen to that, you can tell that he's a smart kid and
passionate, very passionate.
And he has one crack left at this, and he doesn't want to let it go to waste.
At Liberty Communications, we recognize that people need better connections than they did years ago. We don't offer inadequate speeds. In town, we offer speeds from 50 megabytes per second to gigabyte internet. Even in our rural areas, we are able to offer speeds twice as fast as the FCC's broadband standards. From internet speeds you want and deserve to friendly and quick support when you need it, you will be thrilled with the service Liberty Communications provides. It really is a gig deal.
We've been diving deep mm-hmm. into the schedule. Games 1, 2, and 3. Game 1, of course, this week against West Liberty. We talked about Wapello after that for week 2, Williamsburg week 3, Tipton week 4, Bellevue, the Comets, ranked, and we'll talk, maybe get into that rankings a little bit here soon too. And in week 6, we talked about North Cedar. Week 7, Matt, this year, is the Northeast Goose Lake football team. Okay, we have not seen them since, can you ballpark it for me?
Goose Lake, 90-something maybe?
Nope, it's been since then.
No.
You were a wee lad of about 10 years old the last time we saw them.
So early 2000s then.
The early 2000s is about right. Okay, 2003, the Bears were played against Northeast in week 9. It was for the district championship. Both teams were undefeated going into that week. West Branch lost on the road in the last game of the regular season. Northeast was your district champion. The infinite wisdom of the Iowa High School Athletic Association said, boy, that was fun. How about next Wednesday in the first round of the playoffs, we do it all again, and we do it right back at Goose Lake.
Yeah.
So West Branch will travel to the same school twice in 5 days. Game 2, Matt, was a little bit different outcome. 14-2, the final, West Branch wins. But getting back to 2018, looking back and giving you just an idea of Goose Lake. Last year, they started off the season with a victory and then would lose 8 straight games.
Oof.
One of the more exciting games, if you look back at the schedule, I'm doing this from memory, and then I think I've got their stats pulled up, but I know they lost to West Liberty early on in the district season, Matt, 52-50, okay? West Liberty was ahead by 4 scores with 5 minutes or something like that to go in the game, and Northeast scores. They onside kick and recover it and score. Then they onside kick, recover it, and score. There's a pattern. I think you're hearing it. They onside kick, recover it, and score again.
Wow.
52-50. That's a lot of dadgum points on the board. Now, getting to statistical things, and then we'll move on because we're trying to quick dive this one. That team was very young. Most of the key components of that team are very young. They did not have a running back anywhere near, didn't even sniff 1,000 yards. They had a guy at 554, was the leading rusher. You look at their team stats for the season in 9 games, Matt, they rushed for 702 minus 128. Doot, 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 doot. 574 yards on the whole season.
Hmm.
Okay. They threw in 9 games for 2,080. Their quarterback, on average, threw for more yards than did Bo Cornwell of West Branch. He also had 20 touchdown passes. He did have 13 interceptions. 2,077 yards for quarterback Nate Ling. A lot of them to Dawson Stoll. Okay, Dawson Stoll had 668. Dawson Stoll, my friend, is a senior this year. Wait for it. There's a pattern. Second leading receiver, not too far behind him. Had 51 receptions for 598 yards. That's Luke Engen. Okay, here comes your pattern. Guess what year he is this year? A senior this year. Okay. And then finally, third leading receiver for that football team is a guy who has been playing varsity sports that for them for 3 years, Braden Hoyer. Fantastic athlete, fantastic high jumper, 12 to 15 point a game scorer in basketball. A lot of his, he can get up, he throw a jump ball, he's your deep threat. He's your guy. If you're going to try to make a play, you throw it up, he will make a play. 474 yards receiving, Matt, 3 touchdowns, the longest being 58 yards. And guess what class he is?
Junior.
He was a junior. He'll be a senior this year.
Yep.
This team that threw for almost 2,100 yards, Matt, has everybody back of the three leading receivers and, of course, a 2,000-yard quarterback. Dakota Stevenson, the fourth leading receiver, he was not a junior last year. He was only a sophomore, and he caught 30 balls. So this team is going to throw it all over the yard, make no bones about it. They're going to try to beat you through the air. How do you defend that? Get a pass rush. Make the quarterback move around a little bit. And hopefully West Branch, by that time, is a little seasoned. They're healthy, hopefully, as well, right? And they get a pass rush and get a quarterback happy feet. Any quarterback gets a little happy feet, and the passes can go a little bit awry. You might see some picks here, some picks there, some sacks here, and some incompletions. And that's what West Branch is going to have to do to beat Northeast Goose Lake, Matt.
Yeah, and I think a similar trend is, or a similar theme is going to poke its head out next week in week 8 against Cascade, who moving down from 2A and currently in the Des Moines Register's preseason rankings is ranked number 8 in the state.
Yeah. Now you look at their record last year, they were 10-1, Matt.
Yeah.
Now, when they were ranked second in the state, when Williamsburg lost to West Liberty, we talked about that earlier, mm-hmm. in week 7, West Liberty beat Williamsburg, the then number 1 team, on the road at Williamsburg. After that game on a rainy night, guess who became number 1 in the state in Class 2A?
The Cascade Cougars.
The Cascade Cougars. They would beat West Liberty in the first round of the playoffs 49-21. Then they would lose to an upstart Union LaPorte City team who always has had success over the last 5 to 10 years and had some very successful and individual athletes on those team in all sports, from all sports playing football and then moving on. LaPorte City, 16-14 was the final. They took down Cascade. Cascade finished the year 10-1. Now, Cascade's quarterback, I know without looking at stats that year, was number 2, Austin Lawrence. Austin Lawrence he was their leading running back, rushed for 1,400 yards. He was a senior, okay? Their quarterback, Harris Hoffman, you talked about there being a pattern. There are some similarities. He threw for nearly 2,000 yards, and guess what year he was last year, Matt?
Junior.
He was a junior. Okay. Then it gets a little bit less similar to the last team that we mentioned, the Rebels of Northeast Goose Lake. Leading receiver John Supel was a senior, 6'3", though. What a target to throw to, guy. 34 catches, 747 yards. He averaged 22 yards a catch, dude. Logan Otting, the second leading receiver at 6'1", 175, he's listed, had 24 catches, 543 yards, 22.6 yards a catch.
Yikes.
He was, bump, 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 just a junior. He'll be around this year. Blake Simon, Matt. Third leading receiver, 13 catches, 295. That's 23 yards a catch. He graduated. The second leading rusher was Mitchell Gibbs. We'll go back to that. Mitchell Gibbs was the second leading rusher. He was also a senior. They need to replace all their backfield, the majority of their receiving core, okay? But when you got a quarterback that had 17 touchdown passes, Matt, to only 5 interceptions and completed 61 passes, and he's a senior leader this year. I don't know what their line's going to bring back, but I can tell you this, having that, you have 2 or 3 guys, 4 or 5, whatever, on the line to make things happen up front and give you any time, he's going to beat you. He also had carried the ball at 7 yards a carry, had 6 touchdown rushes. Okay, this kid can do a lot of things, and he's going to be the straw that stirs the chocolate milk up for them If they want to be successful, obviously it's going to come at the line, but it's going to be on the arm, the feet, and the leadership of quarterback Harris Hoffman. And that, my friends, is going to be a very, very good ball game at the Little Rose Bowl. First time those two teams have ever played, by the way. All right, Matt. Then the final game of the season, week 9. Dyersville-Beckman. The Blazers. Last year, the Blazers were 5-4. Fun fact. Very first game of the season last year. I know, again, some of these things are actually from memory. This one is. I remember we were wondering about Clayton Ridge last year in our in Class 1A district. West Branch was wondering Clayton Ridge would the Eagles would be for 2017, Matt. And after week one, they lost 58-0 to the Blazers of Dyersville Beckman. Then the Blazers would lose to Western Dubuque, who's a school that's about three times their size. Then they lost to 2A state champion Waukon, 53-35. Then in district play, they went 4-2. Okay, they did not make the playoffs at 4-2 in their district, losing to LaPorte City Union 41-6 and aforementioned Cascade 35-7. So the two stronger teams in their district, they lost to, but they handled everyone else. And this is a team that won 5 games in a very, very tough 2A district, Matt. And it's going to be on the road. It's going to be a game that West Branch has never seen this team. Never played them. Joel Vasquez, the quarterback from last year, he graduated. Carter White, the leading rusher, he had the most carries. Yeah, he was the leading rusher. White Vasquez was the second leading rusher. Third leading rusher was Owen Grover. Leading rusher with only 487 yards. They didn't put up a lot of yards. He had a leading rusher at 111 carries, 487, 4.4 was Carter White. Carter White was a senior. There are a lot of graduating. I had looked at them at their roster before. Very few of their leading, from a statistical standpoint, Matt, very few of their leading performers return. That's not to say that they didn't have a solid fresh soft team. But we don't know. We don't know what that freshman class or sophomore class had because, again, what's the thing I've said twice before? We've never seen them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if all 5 of their linemen return. We won't know until we watch film and can see some numbers of who's playing on the front, and then we can go back and look at the roster and say, oh yeah, these guys have got 2 or 3 years experience. You never know. But I will say this, that's the last game of the season. By that time, a lot of things that will have been washed up and cleaned off the hands to see what's going on in District 4, Matt. It's going to prove it's an hour drive.
Yeah.
It's on turf field. Beckman has that artificial turf field. I just don't know at that point what we're going to see. If West Branch goes into that game 8-0, they're going to be riding high. They're going to have a lot of confidence. If they're 7-1, 6-2, they're going to be nervous. They're going to have some excitement. They're going to have a lot to play for, as we've already chronicled that playoff system, right?
Yep.
So at 6-2, you have to win that game. Mm-hmm. And you better do it convincingly to get yourself a little confidence. And then you're going to play the waiting game. That could play the last 2 games. Well, I mean, all 3 of them are going to be important. But specifically, I think as we get into the next portion of this, Matt, we're going to talk West Liberty. West Liberty next Friday night sets the table before we even get into week 7 and 8. You got to win week 1 to get one under your belt, to try to get it under your belt, to have a game with you to, I don't know, just to say, all right, we're 1-0. We know we're in now. Mm-hmm. And then you take care of it week by week and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. So, Jay, before we get into West Liberty, and now that we've chronicled, briefly games 1 through 9 of the season.
Ooh, we have.
Let's kind of go through, I guess, what I would call predictions or what we could say scenarios or what ifs.
You got it.
So, first one that I have on my list, more or less an over under, 7.5 wins, but we could maybe spin it as if they are over that, if we were to take the over, what are we looking at as far as scenarios? If they happen to be under that, what are we looking at there? So,
okay. I think we can look at it like this. Looking at the schedule, Matt, we've talked about it's probably one of the more, it's the deepest, one of the tougher schedules West Branch has seen in a while, I think, on paper. If they have 9 wins, obviously they're in West mm-hmm. Branch will be in the playoffs. It's a lock. It's a that is a Moline guaranteed lock.
Yes.
Okay. 8 wins will be a Davenport lock. It's a lock. It's it. There's just a lock there.
Either, but it's some, on the other side of the river.
Yeah. There. You might have lost the key. You're not sure yet until they hand you the key to open it. If you're 8 wins, there's really good chance that you're going to be in. That means you've either gone 5-0 in your district or you went 4-0 in your offseason. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Because
if you have one loss, you're either undefeated in the 4 games or you're undefeated in the 5 games. It's just, and if you've done that with this schedule, you're in.
Yeah.
Anything over 7.5, 8 or 9 wins, the Bears are in the playoffs. Either way.
Yep.
Obviously, one way that's it's a lock. The other way is more. It's about a 98%er.
A good.
If you're
chance.
Below it, if you're 7-2 with this schedule, hopefully one loss. If you're at 7-2, one of those losses is in off season. One of them's in the district. If you lose 2 in the district, it's going to be really tough to make the playoffs with this new schedule. But if you lose 2 in the district, that means you hit 4-0. Then you're cheering for West Liberty to do well. You're cheering for Wapello. You're cheering for Williamsburg, and you're cheering for Tipton.
Well,
now, I'm not going to lie to you. You're cheering for them no matter what after you've played them.
Yeah. Well, and you also, and, you know, in that scenario, if there's 2 district losses, like you're also hoping that all of the other teams have 2 district losses. You know, that the whole district is all kind of, you know, quote unquote beating up on each other, which we'll talk about here in a minute or two.
It could be. It could be one of those things. Now, the next thing you've got listed here, man, I'll pose you first. You've got an over and under. Last season, the Bears, you have an interception. How about this? What do you think about this? 8.5 interceptions thrown by West Branch this year.
Some context here. Let's see. We had how many last year?
West Branch actually had 11 last year, man.
Oh, 11. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. I think that's a tough mark to hit. Because, I mean, when you had Cheese Island, without seeing a whole lot of game action yet, other than our scrimmage and maybe some practices, no, this is kind of right in the middle because we're going to play a lot of teams that like to pass the ball. The opportunities are going to be there.
Well, there you go. You just hit the nail I was going to get at. So,
because I think 8.5 is about right.
I would say I'm going to go just for, I mean, they got 11 last year, so I'll say over this year. And here's why. We've gone through the schedule. If you go back through it really quickly, the first team on the schedule, we're going to get to them. Seth Feldman, quarterback of the Comets, had 1,100 yards, had 800 yards rushing. So he's a mobile quarterback. So when he's in pass sets, he'll get outside, he's going to throw the ball. Not very many quarterbacks at the high school level are extremely accurate when on the move. Okay, so that lends its hand to a possibility, more possibilities when you're on the move. Second quarterback, again, they're going to throw it over the yard for Wapello, threw for 1,600 yards. Third quarterback, threw for 1,700 yards. Fourth quarterback, they didn't have a new one. Fifth week, Bellevue has a brand new quarterback. We don't know about him. Sixth week, they're going to throw it around. They had a North Cedar. Seventh week, we just talked about. Week 7 against Northeast Goose Lake, they had a quarterback that threw for 2,100 yards in 9 games. They're going to throw the football. Eighth game, Harris Hoff or Cascade's got a new quarterback. Not sure what they're going to do. Ninth game, Harris Hoffman. We just talked about them from Dyersville Beckman. He threw for 1,700 yards. So if you look at it, six starting quarterbacks returned that threw for over 1,000 yards last year. Okay, that means they're going to throw the football. And like you just said, if they're going to throw it, it lends its hand to having more opportunities. So just for fun, I'll take the over.
How about this one, Jason? So last year, Bo Cornwell threw for over 2,100 yards and 20 touchdowns.
Now, if we cut, let's keep this to regular season.
Yep.
Regular season, it's going to be under. If the Bears if they get into the playoffs and make a run, it should be over.
Right.
On the yardage. Touchdowns?
20 is maybe. A lot.
I mean, that seems like a lot for a team that likes to be balanced, specifically if they can stay healthy. Tanner Lukowski is a completely different player and back than he was last year. He's 20 pounds heavier. He's another year hungrier. He's taller. And he's just hopefully going to be a little bit different. You know, he's going to be a different player than he was last year. I don't want to say hopefully. He just will.
He'll provide a little bit more of, I think, in the running game.
Yeah, right, and they may get some other contributions from other players on that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think Bo's going to be a little bit smarter with his running, but he's going to be active. Mm-hmm. He'll take what he gets, and then whenever he gets 6-7 yards, he'll slide, take it, boom.
Yep. Yep.
So I think the Bears are going to play a little bit more ball control. So regular season, it's under.
Yep.
No way. Yeah. I'll take that. I agree. And I'll be that one. If he throws for 1,800 and we rush for 1,800, all day long, baby. I'll take it.
Yep. Last one here, Jay. Okay. District 4, our new district. As we've talked about here the last 2 weeks, some pretty tough teams here. So we have Beckman Blazers, Bellevue Comets, Cascade Cougars, North Cedar Knights, the Northeast Goose Lake Rebels, and then West Branch Bears in this district. So 1, 2, 3 2A teams from last year.
Yep.
That's what we have. And then Cascade is currently ranked 8, I believe it was, and West Branch at number 10.
And if you look
preseason
at
preseason rankings.
And Bellevue's also ranked in one of the preseason polls. And neither one? I thought they were tied with Cascade.
Des Moines.
They are in the Cedar Rapids Gazette. West Branch is ranked 4th in the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Hmm.
So, and I believe Bellevue and Cascade are each tied for 6th in that poll.
In the Gazette, okay.
In the Gazette. So they give a lot of firepower to District 4.
Yeah.
So you're asking me if this is the toughest district in Class 1A.
Yeah.
I'd say it's one of the 9. It's in the top 9. No, honestly, I look at some of the districts just basing it off last year. Look at District 1, Matt. West Lyon, fantastic program, is in the same district as West Sioux. That's the Class A state champion moving up, and they bring back about everything, okay? West Sioux is ranked number 1 in one of the polls. Okay, one of the two polls, they are ranked number 1 in the other poll. They're in the top 5, right? What do you have in the... What's West Sioux, District 1, in the Des Moines Register poll that you just pulled up?
Number 2.
So West Sioux is ranked number 1 and number 2. Nobody else has a better average than 1.5. It's not possible. And West Lyon is probably ranked in both of those polls as well.
Yeah, 4 in
Western,
the Des Moines Register.
Western Christian is probably getting votes or ranked. Emmitsburg is probably getting... They've been a strong program. They were a strong program forever. Have been down, but they're on the come up, as the kids would say. I know that the Gazette gave them three votes, actually. I just remember from looking the other day. So that, to me, might be as competitive as West Branch's district. Then just for fun, Matt, if you look down at District 7, Pella Christian and Pleasantville.
Mm-hmm.
Pella Christian, you can go all the preseason publications you want, but the Jason Miller preseason publication right now, Pella Christian is my preseason number 1 football team in Class 1A. I think it's arguable. I think a lot of people would say that's a possibility. And then you look at Regina's district, they've got Dyke New Hartford in there.
Yep.
South Hardin's a competitive team. North Lynn was a competitive team last year in Class A. The Regals are ranked number 1, I think, in one of them. Or no, maybe not. Maybe they're 3rd and 6th.
I would say Regina's 1 in the registers.
In the registers. Okay. And I think they're 3rd in the Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
I believe that's correct. They're in the top 10, I know that.
These preseason polls are all a guessing game at this point.
What they're based on is one of two things, right? They're based on how you finished last season.
And expectations.
And, yeah, what the name on your jersey says.
Mm-hmm.
West Branch has a strong tradition of success, so they're going to get that respect until they lose it. Same with Regina. Well, I mean, when you've gone to the state championship game 6 consecutive seasons, you're probably going to get a little respect until you really lose it. But Regina, I can tell you right now, if they make the playoffs, I don't want to play them. Nobody going to want to play Regina. Look at their first 4 games. We talk about our schedule. I know it's talking Bear football, but I'm just going to talk about it for fun. Regina, first game of the season, gets Cedar Epic's Xavier, the defending 3A state champ and number 1 consensus team. Unanimous number 1 in both teams. Well, consensus because they're in both polls are number 1. Week 2, they get Anamosa, an upstart team. Lucas Stanton, former North Cedar coach. And week 3, Matt, they've got Pella Christian, who I just said was number 1 in my poll in 1A. They're a top 3 football team in 1A, period. They return everybody but Hayden Vroom, who is their quarterback. Noah Trader, whatever his name is, was a transfer last name. No offense to the kid. I'm just going from memory. He was a quarterback at Newton before he transferred up last year and rushed for like 1,000, 1,500 yards. for Pella Christian, the Eagles. And in week four?
Williamsburg. Yep.
So you're talking about a schedule. They've got two, maybe three, arguably number one football teams in three different classes. They play three top three football teams in their respective classes in 4 weeks. You tell me if they win that top those four games, if you want to play.
Well,
that team is for real, bro.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is how those games matter now.
They do.
Yeah.
And that's so getting – I bring that up because you just hit the nail on the head. I wouldn't talk about it otherwise because, you know, we just wouldn't. But I brought that up because it means so much. Now, you used to be able – you could lose your first two games out of district like West Branch did in 2012 and then get into the playoffs.
Yep.
West Branch lost to Regina and Wilton back-to-back. And then they ran the – and then they got to the playoffs with Kay Jones, I thought I said Brad Bauer, Bo Bauer of the Denver Broncos, by the way, and Garrett Lynch and Austin Finnegan and all these guys. They got into the playoffs that year at 7-2 because they lost their first two games. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, I think that West Branch's district is one of the top two or three, sir, without question. On paper, I wouldn't trust your advice if you said they weren't.
Main Street Sweets is your hometown sandwich and ice cream shop. Located across from the fire station, Main Street Sweets offers great burgers, tenderloins, cheese balls, and more. And don't forget the ice cream. Find us online at MainStreetSuitesWB.com. Main Street Sweets, locally owned and operated by my wife Jessica and I, where we're always proud to support our hometown.
Now we're just going to get into the regular season. First game, we've already brought that up. It is West Liberty time, Matt. So without further ado, we've got you. That's Matt Shenander. We got me. It's Jason. And we've got the play-by-play voice of the Bears, Stephen Grace, also along with us right now. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
All right.
Back again
for another year. So you've had the chance to look at this schedule. What do you think? Just your impressions of the schedule on the whole.
I mean, I know Coach Peterson's sitting there thinking it's an easy 9-0. We'll just cakewalk through everybody. Oh, wait, no. this is a tough one. You've got three of our four non-district teams are 2A schools, two of which made the playoffs last year, one of which in Williamsburg made the finals last year in 2A.
That's correct.
Those are going to be some really tough games. And then you look at our district, and you've got, what is it, three teams that are coming back down from 2A?
Yep.
You've got Cascade and Beckman, and was Northeast 2A last year too?
Yep,
I'm trying to remember.
Were.
Sure.
I think they were all in the same district, actually.
They were in the same district too, yep.
And so, I mean, you've got those teams that are coming down that were pretty quality. I mean, Cascade actually knocked West Liberty out of the playoffs last year before getting upset in the second round. They were undefeated. I mean, I think they were ranked in the top five.
They were number one.
Were they number one?
At one point.
When Williamsburg lost to Liberty, Cascade became your new number one football team in Class 2A.
So basically two of the number one teams in Class 2A last year were playing, and then the team that beat them were playing. And then, you know, a few of the other 1A teams like, oh, hey, Bellevue, it's not like they're a slouch or anybody that we haven't had trouble with the last couple of years. So,
oh, no, not at all.
I mean, I've said ever since we saw the districts come out and what the schedules were, I said, you know, we could – on paper, we could theoretically have a better West Branch football team this year, and we could have nowhere close to as good of a record. I mean, it's just one of those years that, you know, it could be a really solid team for this Bears squad that just runs into some really tough opponents. Or we could go through and just take care of business because Coach Peterson and company, they all find a way to be ready each and every week. But they're going to have to make sure that they are ready each and every week coming up this season.
Well, speaking of each and every week, let's start with week one, and that's where we're going to go right now. Here's our preview section, and we got all three of us here. Let's do a little rapid fire for about 5 minutes. Say whatever you want. West Liberty, last year a football team that finished 6-4, but as we already mentioned, West Branch and West Liberty, you could throw the books out. Don't care what it is. It's a knockout, dragout, you know, Hatfield-McCoy kind of scenario. You mentioned it. I mentioned it. West Liberty last year knocked off Williamsburg on the road 14-9 on a rainy night, the number one team in Class 2A last year. They had a 52-50 game against Northeast Goose Lake last year. They lost to Cascade in the playoffs first round. Last year, I believe, was, what, 35-7, maybe, if memory serves. But West Liberty may have graduated Joe Kelly at running back. They may have graduated deep threat Tanner Iske, and they may have graduated Bryce Esmoyle. But what they do have coming back, Stephen and Matt, is a quarterback that threw for 1,100 yards, ran for nearly 800 yards, and an offensive line that returns 2 to 3 of those 5 starters up front. So this is a game that I don't care what it looks like on paper. You throw that out, it's going to be a great football game.
I mean, you mentioned, you know, Scott Feldman coming back. You know, he counted for 23 touchdowns, or Seth Feldman, excuse me.
Sorry.
23 touchdowns, both, you know, through the air and on the ground. They do lose their first and third ranked rushers, like you mentioned, and Kelly and Iske. Those guys happen to be at the University of Iowa playing other sports right now. So those guys are some pretty good athletes. The other thing, Jason, you didn't mention, their top 4 receivers are all gone from last year. Yep. Take a stab. The 3 guys from Quick Stats, how many combined catches did they have last year that are coming back that actually caught a pass?
Well, this is one of those trick questions. You can either go, I could say either 0 or like 5 or 7.
Yeah, split the difference right there, 6.
Okay.
The 3 guys that caught a pass last year with experience have 6 combined catches. So they're going to be a little green at some of those skill positions around Feldman. But like you said, that offensive line, I mean, Spencer Daufeldt's a guy that's been playing since he was a sophomore. You know, he's a behemoth, 6'1", 6'2", about 280 pounds. Brent Myers has been around for a while. Scott Pace been around for a while. Kobe Simon coming up. He's got some West Branch ties. His stepdad played here back in the late 90s, Pat Gates. So these guys are going to be physical. I mean, West Liberty's always known for their wrestling tradition, and that always adds a lot as well. So, yeah, you throw the rivalry. You throw the fact that Coach Iske's been turning that mindset around down there, doing a lot of things, and this is going to be a fun game to start this season off.
The other thing I don't think we've mentioned is their kind of physicalness up front, and you mentioned the wrestling part really plays into that. I believe it's Spencer Daufeldt.
That's right.
Yeah, he's back this year too. So really, really tough kid, hard-nosed football player that's going to make a difference in the game. Kind of with those boys up front. So I can't wait to get it kicked off.
Yeah, and just tagging on to that, Stephen mentioned all 3 of their names, Daufeldt, Pace, and Myers. If memory serves, Stephen, help me out on this. They're all minimum 250 pounds, right?
I believe so, yeah. 250, 250, 275.
Okay, so those are 3 guys. That's one of the very few teams that West Branch is going to see in the regular season that pound for pound can match up with them up front. Because West Branch left or right go 230, 250, 230, 220, and 275 up front this year. One of the bigger lines they've had. I mean, West Branch has always had big lines, especially that 98 squad with you at the center.
That would have been 97. I was graduated by 98, Jay Bird.
You're right. I was trying to give you a little help there at that 165 pound center.
I was 190. Come on now.
With pads.
With pads. So, with all things considered, West Branch returns, when you look at it, guys, West Branch returns 12 starting positions out of 22. Gone, of course, are two-way players Barnhart, two-way player Thompson, two-way player Graves, and two-way player Black, and which is the other guy I'm missing here? I'm missing a couple other guys. But they return 12 starting positions. And with the positions they start them, 3 of them, guys, are offensive linemen. That's good news.
That's where West Branch's success has always come, is from that offensive line. And, I mean, it seems like every year we talk how at the end of the season, man, you know, we're graduating 2 or 3 guys, 4 guys. What's going to happen next year? How are they going to come in? And, you know, it just feels like the last few years we've been benefiting from the fact that we've got 2 or 3 underclassmen that are in there sliding in. And so, you know, they're able to find ways to just get that core there, put a couple other pieces that you might have some growing pains in the first couple weeks of the season, but, you know, get running week 3, 4, 5, and all of a sudden that unit starts getting together, finding that consistency, and, you know, the sky's the limit from there. So I think, yeah, the way that group up front is working, you know, hopefully seeing them work together, communicating well, and finding some things, had a chance to watch a little bit of the film from the scrimmage against Mount Vernon. And, you know, obviously there's some early season miscues, but there were some positive things that were going on too.
Right. And by the way, the fifth guy I couldn't think of, I couldn't believe I couldn't pull this guy, was a very important piece last year, is Billy Freese. Arguably, West Branch's, you know, from a guy who played tight end, never played offensive line, except for maybe in junior high a little bit, he was fantastic for West Branch last season. So to have to replace those five guys, like you said, it's going to come from a lot of different arenas, areas. And I think what we're going to find out, guys, is you're going to see some underclassmen that may be a little bit green from a varsity standpoint, but they're going to step up. It's going to have to happen. And as Matt and I just chronicled before this, Tanner Lukowski, okay, is going to be a big key to West Branch's success this year. Injuries last year, an injury late in the season, an ankle injury, what, four weeks he was out. This year he's 20 pounds heavier, much stronger, smarter. He's going to want to get north-south and take on a safety, and I wouldn't want to be in his way. So prediction time, guys. Let's go ahead and do it, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your pick to click?
Well, the guests always go first.
So. Let's see here. My pick to click. I'm going to go with one of those underclassmen that's a little green. I'm going to say Trey Eagle.
Dang it.
I think he's going to come on strong, have some good things from that wide receiver position after he's changing positions from being quarterback the last couple of years. And he's my guy.
I agree. I was going to agree with that. Take that one, but I can't now. Matt, who you got, bud?
Oh, man.
You shouldn't have let me go first,
Well, no, it's
okay. That's all right. Okay.
I'm gonna take a Trey Eagle counterpart and go with Zach Thompson.
Okay. Zach, of course, a younger brother, the aforementioned Ben Thompson. But this is Zach's going to shine. He's a senior captain, voted from his teammates. And I think you're right, man. I think he's going to sign. In practice, he's really stepped up. His speed is, he's got sneaky, sneaky speed. I think you are right with that. So I guess to that end, I'm going to switch and take it a different angle. Because if West Branch wants to be successful, offensively they're going to do some things, but I'll take the defensive. And I'm going to take Captain Copperfit. John Hatfield is my pick to click because he's going to stir the drink on the defense for the Bears. Makes all the calls, guys. And I think if they want to be successful, that's him. Yeah, so we'll go this route then. We'll go in the same order, starting with Steven. What do you think is a score? What do you think is a reasonable score to look for here?
Huh. Gosh. I'm kind of like you with the whole receptions question. I could go, you know, Iowa Penn State 6-4 just because it'll be a knockdown drag out. And there's a chance for some rain as of now, the forecast on Friday. Or it could be, you know, one of those Bellevue from last year, like, you know, 42-40 type shootout type games. I'll split the difference. I'm going to say Little Rose Bowl advantage just barely for the Bears and make it like a 34-27 game.
Had that typed down as my score 3 days ago. That is crazy.
Hey, great minds think alike, Jay Bird.
Holy cow. We're going to box him in, Matt. Your turn.
Should I say 35-28?
Yeah, then I'll go 33-26.
Right.
Oh, God.
You know, I think it's going to be a bit of a high-scoring game. I think with the first game of the season, there's still going to be a little bit of figuring things out as far as the defense goes for both of these teams. Offense is one of the things that's worked on quite a bit in the offseason, so I'm not too concerned about these teams going out there and having their offenses run well. I think the defense is what's going to be difficult, and the biggest reason is, I think, you know, as I mentioned, just offense is what's worked on quite a bit. But then in practice too, you know, you're with such small schools that we have, your defense can never ever play against a first team offense. And the only opportunity that the Bears have had to do that was against Mount Vernon this past Friday. And even then, it's a scrimmage, limited playbooks, limited opportunities to do real football things. So I think it's going to be a high scoring affair. 41-33 West Branch.
Okay. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'll say 38-20 West Branch. That's not a blowout. That's just, I'm going with the Little Rose Bowl advantage. And the it's going to be close throughout. And then maybe one, since I'm picking West Branch to win, I'll say in the end, they get a score here and there just to kind of, I guess, put the hay in the barn, as to borrow a Hayden Fryism. So
it'll really come down to, I mean, it's one of those games that either there'll be a big special teams play or some sort of a miscue, whether it's on a special team, it's a turnover of some sort. I think something like that's really going to be what changes the momentum one way or the other. Otherwise, I think it'll be a pretty even contest.
Yeah. Turnovers and special teams early in the season, Stephen, you've seen it. You've seen it since you were a knee-high to a grasshopper, as Coach Peterson would say. In the early parts of the season, probably throughout, but specifically in the first two, three games, if you can hold down turnovers, you can hold down penalties, and you can make that special teams play, I bet you win. I would bet that your team is going to come out victorious. So,
well, there's one of two options: you either win or you don't.
Yeah, there's no draw in high school football.
You ain't first, you're last.
Yep. Yeah. So, well, that's Stephen Grace. This is week one coming up, guys. I know I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of football fans across the United States, but specifically in Eastern Iowa, in the communities of West Liberty and West Branch, are certainly looking forward to it. And let's just get after it and go. You guys can do this because, Stephen, you're using your voice to empower and thank these people. And Matt, you as well, usually through our podcast. Before we say that, those wonderful words, let's give a shout out to our sponsors who are going to make this podcast and, more importantly, westbranchfootball.com and the Bearcast possible come Friday night. Who are some of our sponsors, guys? Stephen, off the top of your head.
Of course, Liberty Communications is our presenting sponsor again. They do a lot to help us out. We've got Main Street Suites, we've got the Fullwider Insurance Agency, the West Branch Times helping us out, Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants, you've got Ken and Helen Fawcett, Community State Bank, you've got EMS Detergent Services, new one this year, Corridor Drywall, you've got Hodge Construction, and another new one, we've got the Hoover Presidential Foundation, and just stay tuned for the postgame. We've got something a little uncommon that we'll be adding this year, thanks to Jerry and the Hoover Presidential Foundation.
Well, outstanding. I tell you what, well, Stephen Grace is with us. Thanks a lot, Stephen, for joining us. We look forward to hearing you on Friday night and look forward to Stephen throughout the weeks coming ahead. Beginning this Tuesday, we'll begin our pregame interviews and video interviews with players and coaches with Stephen Grace. I'll be a part of that myself, Matt Shenander, Mike Quinlan. You never know, Sideline Jerry might try out a hot dog and let you know how that is before the game.
Remind Jerry that it's the food's a District 4 this year, not District 3 like last year.
Not District 3. And Matthew, as always, thank you for what you do behind the scenes to make this podcast, the Bearcast, and the website flow smoothly. We thank you for that again. And everybody out there, we thank you, the listener. Mr. Rumblehart, I know you're listening as I just waved at my screen. That's ridiculous. Drake Blome, I know you're listening. Frenchie in France, I know you're listening. And Big Dave down there in Washington, hello. And we want to thank everybody else that's joined us, and we look forward to bringing all this fun to you for the next, hopefully, 9-plus weeks right here on the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on westbranchfootball.com.
And we ask you to take care, everyone.